I need about 20 minutes worth. What'd you say? Pay it. Amen, Luke. Make it 10. All right, well, we'll see if we can make it 10. Let's go to Obadiah. Obadiah. And we should be in about verse 7. Obadiah and verse 7. Now, what we talked about is what you have here in the book of Obadiah, as we've said, is the Lord has got the prophet Obadiah, and he is preaching against Edom. And, of course, we've talked about this quite extensively. Edom there is the offspring of Esau. And, of course, because of their treatment of Israel back in Numbers, they're beginning to reap some of the consequences of not taking care of their brother Jacob. And the Lord's starting to bring some punishment upon them. And what has happened historically is that Nebuchadnezzar first came down, of course, takes the Jews captive. And the Edomites obviously feel that they have escaped the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. It appears that they stood with Nebuchadnezzar as he came and just took over Israel and defeated Jerusalem and such. And now what has happened is the Lord has now sent Nebuchadnezzar back, and Nebuchadnezzar is now bringing his wrath down upon the Edomites, and he is doing to them just as he did to Jerusalem. And where we left off in verse 7 is that all the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. So it looks like that Edom had alliances, and I would say probably those alliances probably were with Nebuchadnezzar. And what has happened, those alliances that were there have now been broken, and now they are again at a bad place. The Bible says that there was the men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee, and they that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. So what has happened is Edom has been betrayed, and now they are suffering the same consequences that Israel did, and they thought they were at peace. They thought they had peace, and it's almost a picture of what Israel goes through in the tribulation, where they have this this confederacy ultimately with the Antichrist, where the Antichrist comes in and sets up this peace treaty, and of course then he breaks that treaty. Now, I'm not saying that this is what that is. I'm saying it's a picture of it, where Edom thinks they have some they think they have some liberties. They think they're able to continue on in their freedom, and what has happened is Nebuchadnezzar has come through and he has wiped them out clean. Matter of fact, when the Lord describes what Nebuchadnezzar does, he says if thieves came in, they would rob from you, but they'd leave something. He says when this guy comes through, when I'm done with you, they won't have nothing left to take. They're just going to take it all. They're just going to ravish the whole place and not leave anything. So that's where they're at. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom and understanding out of the mount of Esau? Now notice that the Lord is behind this. So when you think of war, as we often do, because we've seen a lot of it, just even in our days, it seems like we see war going on, and even in America, we've declared war against a lot of things. You have to sit back and see how the Lord's hand is working in that, and how the Lord can take a situation and judge a nation just by putting them in war and putting them through some difficulties. You think about the things that we've gone through. What lessons has America ever learned in any war that we've been in? And the answer is they haven't learned anything. They've not turned to the Lord. They've not repented. We've not had a national revival. You would think after World War II and how the Lord, brings in the defeat of Hitler. And I mean, Hitler, a wicked man that he was, and how you see that those things happen, you would think that America would learn from that and would ensure that we would never see that kind of stuff happen here. And it's not even 30 years later, we have our own war that goes on, and it's the killing of babies. So under Hitler, you have the killing of Jews, 6 million Jews during the Holocaust, and how many millions of babies have been killed through abortion? What did America learn? And then you wonder when the Lord says, "Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men?" You listen to some of the politicians that lead America, and you listen to the great wisdom that they have. They don't have any wisdom. Matter of fact, their wisdom is corrupt. And they've forsaken the Lord, and they've gotten rid of the Lord Jesus Christ out of everything. And the Lord says, "All right, now you take me out of everything. Now watch what you reap. You reap the consequences of an agnostic or atheistic society. You're reaping the consequences of a nation right now that does not consider God. If they do consider God, their idea, it's a perverted God that believes that God loves everybody. God made everybody the way they are, therefore God loves them. That is a perverted view. They did not get that from the Bible. So man does not learn from his mistakes. Now Esau saw what God did to Jerusalem. You would think he would be on the other side and he'd be saying, "Thank you, God, for not letting us go through that." Because remember, Esau and Jacob were both raised in the same home. And they had the same father, Isaac, who probably told them the story about how his daddy took him up into a mountain and was going to sacrifice him, and God stopped him, and how God, all the things that God did for Isaac, Esau lived in that home. And where are the Edomites? They're not worshiping God, not the true God. So the Lord says, "Okay, the mighty man of Esau, I'll show you what I'm going to do. I'm going to destroy your wisdom." He says, "And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end, that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter." The Lord's way of dealing with people is killing them. And that's why a lot of people have a hard time with the Old Testament. And that's why a lot of times you'll listen to people say, "Well, there's, you know, you have the God of the Old Testament, you know, he was a warmonger, and Jesus Christ, you know, he's the God of the New Testament, he's the loving God." No, they're all the same. And the Lord Jesus Christ that said, "Suffer not the little children to come unto me, and such is the kingdom of God," kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven? Such as the kingdom of heaven. The same Lord that said that also told him to go in there and go into the promised land and kill woman and child. And it's the same God. And you say sometimes people have a hard time reconciling that. It's not hard to reconcile. The Lord told that Jew, "You go in there and wipe out those enemies because they're going to corrupt you." People say, "Well, why would God let those little children get killed?" Well, they'd go to heaven, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they have went to paradise? They're without sin in the sense of we are. Wouldn't it be better for that little child to, you say, "Well, that's a terrible thing to think those children are killed in war," but isn't it better to think that they die as a child and end up in heaven than grow up to be an idolater? Now, sometimes you say, "Oh, that's a terrible way to look at things." Is it? Maybe that's the way we need to look at things. Maybe we need to say God's way is better. You don't always understand what God's trying to keep you from. And Esau didn't seek to do what God wanted him to do, and this is the repercussions for it. He says, verse 10, "For thy violence against thy brother Jacob shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever." Now watch how the Lord deals with things. What took place in Numbers chapter 20? Go on over there. Now, when the children of Israel were coming up out of Egypt and they're passing through the land, the Edomites did not help them. And this is their brethren. This is their cousins, ultimately. And they wouldn't help them. And the Lord took notice to that. Notice here in Numbers chapter 20 and verse 14. Numbers 20, verse 14. "And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel." Notice how he reminds them. He says, "We're kin. We're from the same people." He says, Thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us, how our fathers went down into Egypt, and we've dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. And when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice, and sent an angel, and hath brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go to the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left till we passed thy borders. And Edom said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with a sword. Notice what they say. The children of Israel said again unto him, we will go by the highway, and if I and my children drink of thy water, or thy cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. And he said, Thou shalt not go through, and Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border, wherefore Israel turned away from him. Now that's how they were treated. And it's taken some time, and you're talking 1,000 years or more has passed, and the Lord did not forget that. And because they did not take care of their brethren, the Lord says, okay, now I'm going to bring some punishment upon you. And when the Lord told Abraham, I'll bless those that bless thee, and I'll curse those that curse thee, boy, he wasn't kidding. Because now these Edomites here are getting wiped out. They're going to be wiped right off the mat because they did not have a burden for their brother. Verse 10, for thy violence, Obadiah 10, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever in the day that thou stoodest on the other side. In the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. So what Obadiah is saying is the Edomites, what was going on when Nebuchadnezzar comes in and fights against Judah and takes Jerusalem, the Edomites are watching. And they're beholding everything. They watched the children of Israel hauled off into captive. They didn't lift up a hand to help them. They weren't there to be a blessing to them. Matter of fact, they just watched. And then when they were done watching, notice what they did. Verse 12, but thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. So not only did they watch, but then they were happy. They were rejoicing. Kind of like when you saw some of the things down 9/11, you know, when the towers went down and you saw in different parts of the world where people were rejoicing. That's what was going on. They're over there on the other side watching these things, and they're hearing about it, and they're happy. I mean, I can't imagine a big army that comes down like Nebuchadnezzar did to wipe out to the children of Israel. I mean, you have to hear about that stuff. I mean, we're not talking far distances. I mean, we're talking, 50, 60 miles. I mean, you'd hear about if somebody came in and, we're too far away. I mean, if somebody's going to invade around here, you know, it'd be different if you were, if you were in Sault Ste. Marie, you know, if Canada decided they were going to, you know, invade Sault Ste. Marie, St. Ignace would know about it. I mean, you could see the rockets. You could probably see the fire with everything burning. I mean, that's the comparison. And what they're doing is they're watching and they're rejoicing. And he said, neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. So not only are they watching and not only are they rejoicing, but here's what they're saying. Oh, they got what they deserved. Boy, I'll tell you, I always cringe when Christians start saying, well, so-and-so got what they deserved. Boy, that's the most foolish thing you could ever do as a saved person is ever rejoice when someone gets what they deserve. I mean, you know what you need to do? You need to just sit back and put your head down and pray to God that the Lord will be merciful with them. And you say under your breath, God, please don't ever let me have to go through that. I wouldn't rejoice. I wouldn't rejoice over anybody's trouble. I mean, I've had some people do some rotten things to me, and I'd have to honestly say I don't think I would rejoice over any trouble that would befall them. You say, why? Because it could happen to me. I don't want the Lord coming after me because I didn't humble myself. That there's an illustration of someone that didn't humble themselves. Why, you humble yourself, the Lord deals with you differently. Boy, you walk around proud and all gay about things. Not gay in the 2019 gay, but you know what I mean. Just having this nonchalant attitude, and the Lord keeps an eye on that stuff, and he comes out and he's going to deal with it. He says, verse 13, thou shouldest not have entered. Now watch what happens. Not only did they look, not only did they rejoice, not only did they talk about it, now they entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction. They came in closer to see it. I mean, you've known people. Yeah, have you ever known people that when there's trouble, they just show up to see how you're doing, to see how you're doing? Yeah. Not because they care. They just want to see how bad you're doing, because it makes them feel good. People love to watch you hurt. I know that sounds terrible, but there's Christians that love to watch people be in misery, and they rejoice in it. There's a feeling they get from it, and they're coming over here rejoicing, and they're watching what's going on. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity. And here's what else they did: nor have laid hands on their substance. Then not only did they look at them, not only did they rejoice over them, not only did they talk about them, not only did they come all the way down to get even a close look, then they stole their stuff. I mean, think about that. Look at Lamentations. Here's what they saw. Lamentations chapter 5, Jeremiah writes about it. And it's a sad, sad thing. I mean, you think about those German soldiers that were taking those Jews and running them through the gas chambers and stuff, and then taking all the gold, knocking their gold teeth out, taking their gold rings. Those Jews were so tight and were known to be carrying gold money on them. As they're going to gas chambers, they would have absolutely nothing, and they'd still have gold. They'd be carrying gold around on them. And those German soldiers would find that stuff. Of course, you know, the wealth and stuff that was stolen. I mean, you see why Germany is the way it is today. Lamentations 5, look at verse 10. Lamentations 5, 10. Here's what Jeremiah writes. This is what the city looks like. After Nebuchadnezzar comes in, wipes out all the people. I mean, he'll wipe them all out. He leaves some there, but then takes a bunch of them, you know, kills a bunch, takes a bunch into captivity, leaves some there, and the people that are left there are starving to death. And this is how they look. Verse 9. This is Lamentations 5, 9. We get our bread with the peril of our lives because of the sword of the wilderness. Our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine. They're starving to death. I mean, their skin. I mean, imagine their skin being out in the sun, and it's turning dark, and it's just hanging on their body. I mean, you've seen the pictures of people that are starving to death like that. They ravished the women in Zion and the maids in the cities of Judah. That's what the Babylonians did. They came in, raped the women. This is what the Edomites would have saw. The princes are hanged up by their hands. The faces of the elders were not honored. You got people hanging, dead, you know, hanging up from trees. They took the young men to grind. The children fell under the wood. You saw people go out and now turned into slaves and servants. The elders have ceased from the gate, the young men from their music. So you don't have the old men sitting at the coffee shop anymore, figuring out the world's troubles, or McDonald's. You don't see the little kids running around town singing and doing what little kids do. He says, the joy of their heart has ceased. Our dance has turned into mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we've sinned. For this our heart is faint. For these things our eyes are dim. Because of the Mount of Zion, which is desolate, the foxes walk upon it. I mean, it's just a wiped out place. It's just a place of devastation. It's a place where people are starving to death, where people have nothing. And then the Edomites come in there and they're looking at it and they're laughing and they're picking through all the rubble and taking all the things they want. And the Lord's up there in heaven and he's watching every bit of it. And he's saying to himself, you think you're going to get away with that? You think you can go into that city, my city, and take from my children that you wouldn't help? And now that they're in distress and they're dead and they're all laying all over the place, you're going to pillage their stuff? Lord says, you're not going to get any of that. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway. So not only did they watch and not only did they rejoice and not only did they talk about it, not only did they go in there and take their stuff, but when the Jews tried to escape, they stood in their way and they wouldn't let them go. And of course, they end up getting killed. He said to cut off those that did escape, neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the days of distress. The children of Israel were trying to flee to Egypt. Now, they weren't supposed to flee to Egypt. You understand, the Lord told, Jeremiah told them, stay in the city and you'll live. Well, you know how it goes. Nobody listens to anything the preacher says. So they all gather, you know, they grab the preacher and say, we're going to Egypt. Take the preacher with you. Well, of course, you know, that wasn't the thing to do. Nebuchadnezzar went and got them all. Nebuchadnezzar goes all the way down to Egypt, takes over Egypt. And you know what he finds when he gets down to Egypt? Jews. I mean, imagine how the Lord deals with that. And before Nebuchadnezzar goes down to Egypt, you know where he goes? He goes to Edom. He goes to Edom first. And the Lord says, you didn't let them go. They weren't supposed to go anyhow, but because you got in their way, now I'm going to punish you. I mean, it's like the Lord, you know, the Lord raises up Nebuchadnezzar. He says, Nebuchadnezzar, my servant, go out there and get them Jews. And Nebuchadnezzar goes out there and gets them Jews, and man, he just does just a toll on them. And then the Lord says, you know what, Nebuchadnezzar, you should have never touched my people. I'm going to get you now. You say, well, isn't that just insane? You say, well, what do you learn from that? Well, Nebuchadnezzar could have went in there and got the Jews without doing what he did to them. He could have went in there and just took them all captive, hauled them all away. And even you say, well, the Lord told him to kill them. Yeah. But I wouldn't have did it. If I was Nebuchadnezzar, if I knew anything about the Bible, if I had heard anything about that Jew, if God told me, go kill my people, I'd say, uh-uh. You said anybody that touches them, I'm going to get them. Get somebody else. Amen. Amen? You say, well, you're disobeying God. I'll take that chance. Amen. When it comes to that Jew, boy, I'll tell you, you don't cross him. When the Lord says, I mean, but the Lord, you know what he does? He uses your pride. Because he knows how we are. And the Lord will say, okay, go do it. He'll see what you say. And Nebuchadnezzar, okay, I'll go do it. You mean I get to take all that? You can have it all. He goes in there and just takes it all. And the Lord just says, okay, now I'm going to come back and get you. He says there, he cut off those that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those that did remain in the day of distress. Now watch the second Advent passage. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. So where Edom thought they could gain and reap the blessings of Israel being overthrown, God says, okay, now I'm going to send Nebuchadnezzar in and I'm going to have him wipe you out. And it's a picture. All that stuff there, he says, the day of the Lord is near. That's a picture of the second advent. What you see, Nebuchadnezzar coming in, wiping out all them people, it's a picture of what Jesus Christ is going to do when he comes back. The difference is when the Lord comes back, he does it in righteousness. See, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns at the second advent, the whole world's trying to fight God. I mean, I can't even begin to imagine that. I mean, what kind of people think they could fight God? Well, won't that be something to see? We'll be coming back with the Lord, Revelation 19. We'll come back and we'll see a whole world that thinks they can fight the Creator. That's the dumbest fight anybody could take. And yet the Antichrist is convinced. He thinks he's going to do it. All right, we'll stop there because we'll wrap up this chapter. We'll stop in verse 15. We should be able to wrap it up next week here, Lord willing. All right, you're dismissed. That was about 10.